Welcome to this week's radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel. We hope you find inspiration and healing today from the ideas shared in this rebroadcast.
Welcome to the Christian Science Sentinel radio edition. Thank you for joining us. I'm Steve Carlson. Injustice. It's often in the news, and maybe you've faced it in your own life. Even illness is a kind of injustice. Many people have seen firsthand that the correction of wrongs can be found by discerning the supremacy of divine justice. Throughout the Bible, there are wonderful illustrations of God's power to free people from unfair circumstances, from feeling victimized by tyranny, dishonesty or inequality, disease or a shortage of basic needs. The Scriptures also bring out the nature of prayer that heals and saves, especially in Jesus' teachings. In the face of injustice, such prayer enables us to see proof of God's love for His creation and the inherent innocence of all His children. Our guests today talk about finding freedom from injustice, and we'll hear their experiences. They spoke with Sentinel Radio's Rita Politan.
With me in the studio is Nathan Talbot, a Christian Science practitioner and teacher. So nice to have you with us today, Nate.
Hi, Rita. Thanks for the invite.
We're talking about praying about injustice. And I think so often it can seem like a person is faced with an unjust situation through no fault of their own, in which there's really nothing they can do to correct it.
Don't you think most of us have felt that way?
Definitely.
In fact, you know, sometimes it may be a more minor kind of so-called injustice. I remember one friend told me that she had said something to a neighbor and he misunderstood it. And then his attitude and actions were not very good after that. Mm-hmm. And she was in such distress and she really felt it was an injustice. Well, in a way, that's fairly minor compared to some things. I know of a case where a guy had been misidentified in a crime and he wasn't the one that did it, but he got convicted, he got sent to prison. And it was some years before they found out he really was innocent. Now, that was a big injustice, but whether it's a little one or a big one, I think most of us have to deal at one time or another in our lives with what seems to be pretty unjust.
Well, and when we are dealing with an injustice, what have you found to be the most effective approach to finding true justice, no matter what we're facing?
Well, I think, Rita, at least I found in my own experience, that you've got to appeal to a higher law. That if we try to find justice in the avenues that most people look for justice, it may or it may not be that helpful. I know of cases where people have pursued justice at a very human level, and I guess you could say that they prevailed, even like in a court case. I know of cases where people actually won a court case, but you know what? They weren't that happy afterwards. Right. They weren't that satisfied. They weren't fulfilled. In a way, I think you could say they hadn't really gotten justice yet. So I guess that's why I say that ultimately I think, and not that it's wrong sometimes to pursue a human avenue, but mm-hmm. that sooner or later, if we don't pursue a more spiritual answer, we're liable to find ourselves not fully satisfied. And there is a higher law. I mean, there is God's law.
Well, then tell us more about this. What is the foundation for this higher justice, and how can we put it into practice?
Well, one place I would start, Rita, would be in thinking about God's law. I would start, well, what is God's law? And I'd probably even just through prayer reason that God has a law of justice. There is such a thing as spiritual justice. And if I can see clearly that His law is divine, that true justice is spiritual, that helps me work things out at the human level. Let me give you just a little example. The Bible is full of God's laws, as I read the Bible, and I think they can be applied in very practical ways. There's a little phrase in the Bible where Jesus said, "Nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now, that's a wonderful thing, and I think Christians throughout history have read that and been grateful to have that kind of a promise. But if we think of that as a law of God, there's something behind those words that you might call the power of the Christ that literally reaches into consciousness and in a way reconstructs events. it actually changes human events. And the reason is because the power of the Christ can overpower whatever seems to be going on humanly. So when we think of those words, "Nothing shall by any means hurt you," think of them from a prayerful standpoint. Think of them from the standpoint that the Christ truth is reaching your thought with those words, blessing you right in the midst of what seems to be unjust.
Because laws have power behind them, authority.
Exactly, yeah.
And so then when you appeal to that law of God, then you've got all the power of God behind you.
It is not just a theory. It's not just some words in a book. It is a powerful truth. And divine law is throughout the Bible. It's a wonderful, empowering concept to realize that we can turn to the Bible and we can find spiritual truths that heal.
Those are really helpful ideas. And let's take a moment now to listen to the experiences of two people who are also learning about the laws of God and finding freedom from injustice. And then we'll come back and finish our conversation.
Good, let's do.
On the phone with me now from Berlin, Germany, is Annette Kreuziger-Herr. So glad you could be with us today, Annette.
I'm very happy to be with you.
Our topic today is praying about injustice. And I know you had a situation where you had to do just that. Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah, I'm very happy to. This experience has to do with my career path. It was a number of years ago when I was up for tenure at my university, where I had worked as assistant professor for 6 years. And at that point, a group of professors joined forces to prevent that I would enter this track. And to me, it was very unfounded. I already, as an assistant professor, had started to open up to new methodologies and teaching methods. I included the students much more in the programs and ensured that they would be much more involved. I had started to bring together experts from my field in a lecture series, which was very well accepted in the city where I was teaching at that point. So there was much good going on. And at that point, it has changed now, but at that point, the laws of the university didn't allow any exterior letter of recommendation. So I had no legal opportunity to go to experts in my field and ask for support.
And it seems like it was unfair.
It was very unfair, and I felt ashamed, humiliated, and very, very alone. And to me, this humiliation had to do with envy and with resistance to something new.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So for about 1 year, this whole process came to a halt. Mm-hmm. And this year was the most terrible and dark year of my life, because what was at stake was that I had invested in my career and in my studies about 20 years of studies worth. And if this process hadn't moved forward, I wouldn't have been able to become a professor, which seemed to be such a waste of time and efforts. It seemed to me to be just not right. I felt God impelled in what I was doing, and it felt just right to do all this.
So then, during this very tumultuous time, what were you doing then? How were you praying?
During this time, I consistently studied the Bible and science and health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. And every day, I tried to the best of my abilities to listen to God. I try to start my day in a way with this inner sense of peace that comes from this deep assurance that God is love and is with us every moment. And when I prayed about this complicated situation, I realized that righteousness is a quality that is deeply rooted in God. So I tried to understand on the deepest level humanly possible that God is truly just and righteous. Day by day, I moved forward in thought to understand that I needed to acknowledge that God is just and I can completely trust God, rather than to continue feeling humiliated or trying humanly to fix the situation.
So then, as you really turned away from the outside circumstances and really focused on God and His goodness, what were you beginning to see?
Well, this one psalm especially stands out to me. And I applied it specifically to my situation. It has been written thousands of years ago, but I felt it was speaking to me. This psalm goes like this: Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. To me, when I prayed about this complicated situation, I realized that divine love, God, is expressing itself, and it's expressing itself through us. And we feel this love in loving our neighbor. This is at least how I understand the secret of Christianity. So this deep love is flowing from God directly to his creation. And humanly, it often means that if you express this love in your surrounding, sometimes you are not loved back. And I felt that it was important for me to understand that it was my call to love and to forgive despite the fact that others weren't loving me back. So I tried to understand with my prayer on the deepest level humanly possible that God wants us to express his love and his intelligence and his peace everywhere, and that my job was a truly humble asking of God, where do you want me to be, and understanding that nothing can thwart God's purpose for us.
How did that make you feel?
I felt much more peaceful. Well, it felt like my consciousness being like a kind of a sponge, and every day it was more deeply soaked in this hope and in this deep trust that God is good and his creation is good, and that I can trust this goodness.
So then what happened?
The dean of faculty changed and a different dean was put into place. I didn't speak to him, and he approached me and said, I have this paper here on my desk, this request to move on with this process. And I realized that there have been terrible mistakes made, and I'm here to change those. So what he did was to bring together 17 new professors to take care of the tenure process. And in about 1 month, I had the opportunity to present my work in front of this jury, and the process finished with the highest grade that they can give and a recommendation to give tenure to me, which then happened. So for myself and for my institute, this resolution meant also that our university would be a modern university in a sense by accepting that today women teach and different methods are used. And so I continued to stay at this university for about 1 year and then was hired by a different university already as a tenured professor.
And so then to look for justice is to look to God and to stay there.
Yes, and this righteousness can never be found without this deep willingness that everyone on this planet can find the same. Mm-hmm. So it's not an exclusive righteousness. Mm-hmm. And this righteousness is always connected to our honest and true love for humanity that we express in our unselfish deeds every day.
Well, Annetta, really wonderful ideas you're sharing here and a great experience. Thanks so much for being with us today.
You are very welcome.
I've been speaking with Annetta Kreuziger-Herr, who lives in Berlin, Germany. With me on the phone today is Carol McFall, a Christian Science practitioner. Nice to have you with us, Carol.
Wonderful to be here.
Our topic today is prayer about injustice. And when people think about unjust situations, you know, they might think about somebody being dishonest or something being taken away from them that was theirs. But, you know, there's a whole other side to injustice that I'd like to talk about with you. And that's the idea of when we get an illness. You know, it just seems like it's so unjust. And I know you had an experience where you learned something about that. Can you tell us what happened?
Sure. I remember a time when I woke in the middle of the night feeling sick with all the depressing symptoms of a heavy cold or flu coming on. Well, I had a lot going on in my life, and I didn't need this. I thought, this isn't right. It isn't just.
Mm-hmm. Well, Carol, some might ask, why would you say it isn't just?
Because I have learned that I have rights as a child of God. And as a student of Christian Science with so many healings in my past, this is not part of that good that's in store for me. And I don't have to consent to anything that doesn't have divine authority backing it up. I knew that I could stand on spiritual truth here.
Tell us more about those spiritual truths.
Well, a central theme in Christian Science is that God's law of harmony equips us with health and happiness, and we can exercise our right to dominion from sickness through prayer. Now, here's where I get that idea. In Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, she says, "Let us banish sickness as an outlaw and abide by the rule of perpetual harmony, God's law." Then she goes on to say this, "It is man's moral right to annul an unjust sentence, a sentence never inflicted by divine authority." Annul is a very powerful word. It means to obliterate. It's not just wrestling with something or challenging it or from time to time dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no wiggle room in that word.
So then what you're obliterating and annulling is the opposite of God's law. It's material law.
Yes. It's a sorting out process in a way, Rita.
Uh-huh.
We accept and hold up the truth. We reject and throw out the lie. And how do we know what's true and what's a lie? God tells us that.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Bible and also in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. That's our guide.
So tell us more about how you prayed that night.
Well, with each limiting, painful, diminishing idea that came, I rejected it as part of me and then replaced it with the genuine article, you know, the truth about me as God's child, his image and likeness.
Give us an example.
Okay. The idea that I caught this contagion, I'm vulnerable, was replaced with the knowledge that since I am made in the image of a God who is all good, I'm never vulnerable, but only responsive and open to good.
That's so comforting.
I didn't have to accept those common views that disease has its own intelligence to travel from one person to another, or that I'm, well, a helpless victim of chance with no say in my well-being, or that something distressing has to run its course.
Instead, you stood up to it.
Yeah, I pitched out a lot of mental debris that night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's our God-given right to do that.
Yes, it is.
So then what happened?
After I'd been doing this, my thoughts went to gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I suddenly came out of all this engrossing work and realized I had a lot to be grateful for. The culmination of any demonstration of God's goodness is giving thanks, acknowledging that goodness. And by then it was early morning and I felt ready to sleep. Well, I woke up later that morning free of any of those cold and flu-like symptoms. I didn't have to go through days or weeks of suffering. You might say an unjust sentence had been annulled.
And it was annulled by the truth that God made you as his spiritual perfect image and likeness.
Absolutely.
What more then can you say to someone who might be thinking, wow, you know, can anyone do this?
Absolutely. You know, I know that we don't need to accept everything that comes to us. We don't need to accept unjust sentences. And I classify sickness in that category for sure.
Because it doesn't come from God.
Exactly. God gives us only good. And we only can really have what comes from God, what God gives us. So we need to focus on that and identify clearly what we're getting from God.
And that gave Jesus the authority to heal, didn't it?
Yes, it did. We can know our spiritual identity and the liberty that goes with this correct identification surely as we know our own name. It is wonderfully freeing, health-giving, and encouraging to know that not only do we have divine rights, but we can exercise them.
Well, Carol, just as you certainly did. Wonderful experience and helpful ideas as to how each one of us can pray about injustice, including illness and disease, and really see what our divine rights are as the child of God. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Rita.
I've been speaking with Carol McFall, a Christian Science practitioner from the San Luis Obispo area in California. I'm back now with Nathan Talbot, a Christian Science practitioner and teacher, and we're discussing today how to pray about injustice. And Nate, you know, the two experiences we just heard were really good examples of how people are finding those good laws of God and bringing them into their lives. But I'd like to ask you in particular about Carol's experience, because I think some people might not see sickness as an injustice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most people really haven't thought of a disease as an injustice. I mean, certainly they may feel it's not fair, they shouldn't have to suffer, but mm-hmm. I don't know that a lot of people really realize that they can appeal to God, His mm-hmm. law of justice, in overturning that kind of a concept. Sometimes people feel that they're just sort of flooded with injustice. I mean, maybe it's not just an illness, maybe it's all sorts of physical problems that somebody's struggling with. Mm-hmm. And I go back and I think about things like Noah and the ark. Well, the flood actually lifted the ark. So just because a person feels that they're inundated with some injustice or many injustices, that can be a time to actually lift them if they have a sense of God's law of justice.
I think knowing those laws of God is really important. So tell us more about where you go to find those laws of God. You've already mentioned the Bible. Where else do you go?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, I found them throughout the Bible, but I have found a lot of very explicit description of what these biblical laws mean and how they can be applied in Mary Baker Eddy's book, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures. To me, it's just sort of opened up the Bible, like shining a light on it and saying, here are the laws that will bless you. And that's true whether somebody said something to you, whether it's a disease, whether it's an accident, whether it's an aging question, whatever kind of injustice mortal experience tries to impose on us, there is a law of God. And this book, Science and Health, to me, is a book that illustrates laws. In fact, there's a little 12-page section in the book that I have often enjoyed. It's sort of a court case. And it talks about someone, a fictional character, that has gotten ill because he helped a friend.
Seems terribly unjust.
Well, it does, but it happens all the time.
Sure.
People do things for other people, and sometimes they seem to pay a penalty for it.
Right.
Well, that's what Mrs. Eddy is illustrating in that so-called court case that she deals with. And she sort of reasons through it and illustrates how an individual can work through an injustice and prove God's law of justice. And what she's really telling us is get on God's side, that God has a sense of His creation as being infinitely good. And if we relate our lives to God's great love for us and His empowering presence and His care for His children, then we're going to find justice. And of course, that's how she shows that this fellow got free of the disease he had. The disease which came, it seems, from helping his friend. Mm-hmm. You know, paying a penalty for doing good. Mm-hmm. What a terrible thing. I mean, talk about injustice.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus certainly knew and put into practice those laws of God, which enabled him to heal people. And even in the end, when he suffered a great injustice, you know, when he was crucified, he knew enough about the law of God to be resurrected, to overcome it. You know?
Don't you think that was kind of the ultimate injustice?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I mean, all that he did for people, all the healing work, all the love he had for everyone, and the reaction that brought from, I don't think it was so much from just people. Mm-hmm. It was more a reaction from what the Bible calls the carnal mind. And sometimes, you know, we all need to deal with that so-called carnal mind, or as it's described in Christian Science, mortal mind, a kind of so-called belief in a mind apart from God. Sometimes that kind of mentality is not very sympathetic with God, with the presence of divine love. And you're right, I think Jesus' way of dealing with injustice was that he expressed that love of God. That became a law in his consciousness that was so powerful that he was able to forgive those people. He understood that they didn't understand mm-hmm. who he was, and his love was just overpowering. And I think that's really what brought him out of the grave, was
Absolutely.
That powerful love. And I think that can illustrate for us what brings us up out of whatever grave we may feel we're in because of some injustice, is our willingness to forgive, our willingness to be patient, an ability to quietly develop an inner spiritual sense that loves. I mean, that will overcome the greatest injustice. And sometimes I think we all have to admit it takes persistence, a lot of persistence sometimes, for us to be willing to yield to the law of love. That may not happen overnight. We may have to grow into that.
Yeah, but it's really worth the effort.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, not only can we deal with injustice through prayer, but I think people would be a little surprised if they realized how much they could help their fellow beings by turning to prayer. Maybe even to talk with a neighbor or a friend who's has some great injustice. Just tell them a little bit about the fact that there is a law of God that is capable of overturning that injustice. Once people become even a little bit aware of the law, that begins to make a difference.
Well, and this law of God is there for us in any instance, in any situation.
Yeah. And a court may not be able to do it. A company may not be able to do it. Some big corporation, all the effort that you might make through human reasoning may not be able to do it. But the law of God can overturn injustice.
Well, Nate, really helpful ideas. Thanks so much for coming in today and showing us how we can all pray about injustice.
Good to be here, Rita.
I've been speaking with Nathan Talbot, a Christian Science practitioner and teacher who lives in the Boston area.
That's our program for this week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve Carlson for the Christian Science Sentinel Radio Edition.
A current listing of Christian Science practitioners and teachers, as well as their contact information, can be found by searching in the directory in the back of any issue of the Christian Science Journal. You can also access the directory online by going to jsh-online.com. If you'd like to listen to more Christian Science audio content, please visit jsh-online.com. Here you'll find current podcasts and articles from the Christian Science Sentinel. The full archives of Sentinel Radio can be accessed with a subscription, along with other healing and inspirational content.
This program is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.